It's a top back in the day as well. It was a top league for women, also together with the German Bundesliga. So after spending 2 years in Uppsala, I transferred to VfL Wolfsburg in Germany in Bundesliga, and spent 3 years there, which then brought me back again to Sweden, and I played in Gothenburg in Jitex in Damallsvenskan. And after that, I spent 1 year in Norway, in close to Oslo, a little place called Lillestrøm, with a great team there. And then after that, I finished my career with 2 years in Finland. First, we won the championship with the PK35 in Vanta, and then my hometown, nowadays hometown team, Ilves. We got silver in my last season in playing in Finland, or my last season overall. About the national team, I made my debut in 1998. I don't know how old you guys were back then, but it seems like ages ago. I was 15 at the time, and when I finished my career about two and a half years ago, I finished it with my last game. Actually, ended up being the qualifying game against Spain. And that ended up being my 100th game. So after that, I finished with my knee was so messed up, and I decided that I won't eat the medicine or the painkillers for a little while. So after that, I can run for a year and a half or so. And that was a pretty easy decision to make then. And right after that, I got pregnant. So, you know, one thing led to another, and I found this great job. And so then... Things tend to work out, which I always try to believe. So I was the seventh female to reach 100 games, and 12 overall. By the way, do you have any knowledge of the men who have played, the four guys who have reached the 100 games with the Finnish national team in football? Any suggestions? Of course, we have Sami Hyypiä and Jari Litmanen, the other two. Yes, good one. Then one more. This might be a tricky one. Jonathan Tintti Johansson. So these people have reached the 100 games. It's not that easy, actually, in football, but it took, like you see from the time frame, it took quite a while. I was in the team for the two Euros 2009 when we played at home, and then also 2013 when we were in when we played in Sweden. So great tournaments, very nice experiences. It's always with a big tournament. It's very, very, very nice experience. So ever since playing with the U national teams, I've been. One of the captains, either the captain or one of the captains group, and also my last maybe 7 years with the national team, I've been in the either co-captain or in the captains group, and after I finished my career, they asked me. Obviously, they didn't want to get rid of me, even though I wasn't playing. So they asked me to be the player's manager for one spring before I gave birth to my daughter. So I was there with the team, and it was great being back with the team because it's a nice group of girls and a great atmosphere. So it was very nice. So that's me with my football career as well. Then of course, even with my career. Current position of trust, I have had some other experiences as well. I've been a member of the board with the Finland's Players Association, JPU, from 2014 till 2018. So now that I got this new position, I had to step down as a board member, because those two don't correlate that well. Also, I've been a member for a few years now in the Ilves RU, which is the biggest, well, we like to call ourselves the biggest sporting club in Finland. And yeah, it's very interesting to be part of such a big group or big club with a lot of different branches. We have ice hockey and we have salibandy. What do you call it? Floorball, yes, thank you. And all these, we have futsal and all these different aspects, ringette and other things. So it's very interesting, actually. But in January, there was a very interesting meeting or this, what do you call it, the congressional meeting or how do you say it, liittokokous, where a big strategy change in Finnish football FA was voted through, and then also some changes in the rules were voted through, and then also there was an election for the for my position as the vice president, but also for the president, and I got elected in end of January, and ever since that. So it's been a few months now, and it's been very interesting and to see this side of the sport as well. And usually now I am the chairman of the board for the Football Foundation, Jalkapallo Säätiö. Usually that is a position for the president of the Finnish Football Association, but our new president, Ari Lahti, he has decided that he really wants to split his or give some other some how should I say it? That he wants to share the responsibility, so to speak. So he thought that it would be a great idea for me to be the chairman for the Football Foundation. So this is the type of foundation that gives out grants for different projects, for instance, or we try to develop football in different parts of in Finland. So it's a small, it's still growing, but it's an interesting position as well. Well, I would like to talk briefly about women's football globally. Both FIFA and UEFA are what do you call it? Those are the homes for our national associations. The global one, FIFA, and the European one, the UEFA. They see women's football as an enormous growth opportunity. They see a very huge potential in that. Obviously, all the time people who play sports is growing, and especially in women's football, it's growing. It has been growing a lot lately, and they also see it as a lucrative option for, different types of business opportunities as well. There's a since the men's football is very, very saturated, so to say, I guess they see that there's that's how they see that there's a lot of chances in the women's side, but also they think that it's very important to make football accessible to all, both girls and boys, all over the world. Like we can say, this is still unfortunately not the case in all the places in the world. Let's say Iran, for instance, there, you know, girls can't play football. They can't be even watching the games. So some have been thrown to jail for dressing up as guys and going to the stadiums. So this is, you know, obviously in this matter, we are very far ahead in Finland as well when you talk about equality. but it's a big thing, especially for FIFA. Things are a little different in UEFA, I mean in European football, but especially in FIFA, in some of the continents, this is an issue. what they also think is very important is to bring expertise in the women's football. Obviously, this is what you get from bringing old players, old referees, old, to bring these people or bring these girls and ladies as coaches or as mentors as any type of role that they really want in football. So that's very, I think it's very good, because I think we always should, know the difference between women's football and men's football. You shouldn't be comparing that to, you shouldn't compare those two, even though it's the same sport, but still you shouldn't be comparing those two to each other. Like we don't compare, for instance, when you do 100 meter dash or you do men's and women's tennis, you don't compare these two against each other. But then again, you see those as individual or as sports for themselves. But yeah, it's so there are a lot of nuances in women's football that you only get from the expertise, that's very important to bring these old players to these positions. Also, they have these projects to bring in women in governing bodies and in management, like me now, for instance. they do see it as an opportunity. There's also some, like for instance, UEFA has had this program for women in football leadership. I actually got chosen for that program, but then I should have been in Switzerland for the time when I was supposed to give birth to my first daughter. So then actually it ended up not working out. But still it's a very good thing that they do these type of educations that then you can have a mentor from the men's side, and it's very good for the growth of the sport. But all in all, football can be seen as a means of enabling women in sports or in society, bringing people in or getting people involved and showing them showing them that they can bring their expertise or get them involved. It's very important. And also in the poor countries all over the world, it should be seen as a way of enabling women. They have been actually trying to they have been developing these top level competitions lately. We have the FIFA Women's World Cup, which has, for instance, if you look at the attendance or the spectator attendance or the how many tweets you have regarding those, or how many people watch the games. You know, these have been growing very, very fast. Obviously, we know that the Men's World Cup has always been very, very popular, and it's huge. Of course, we're still far, far, far behind. But still, then again, it's very nice to see that they have put a lot of effort into these tournaments as well, and as the level of women's football has gotten better, it's obviously fun to watch for these people as well. Also, the Women's Euro last year, I don't know if any of you saw the final, which was we got a new European champion, Holland, or the Netherlands, they won. They played against Denmark, and it was a very, very fun, and it was a great game to watch. And especially when the host nation, Holland, won the championship, that brought a huge interest in the sport, and it brought a huge, it has had a lot of benefits for their women's football. For instance, a few weeks back, they played a World Cup qualifier against Northern Ireland, and I think they had 36,000 people watching that game. That's the biggest number for just a qualifying game. But that tells you it's huge, because I don't remember when's the last time our men's national team has gotten those numbers, have we? At least in Finland. Also, one more thing, they have started, it's not too long ago when they started the Women's Champions League, maybe 10 years or so, no, 15 years ago, maybe when they started the Women's Champions League. And it has grown gradually. My old club, Wolfsburg, for instance, they won it twice. And you can tell that the credibility you get from that, and it has a lot of different, it affects a lot of different aspects, and it has been very beneficial for them, obviously, getting more money in and getting better players in and all these things, but it's nice to see that is also growing very rapidly. Especially with my next thing, talking about marketing and promotion, that kind of events that are interesting, it always helps. So, like I already said, some kind of separation from men's football should be done with women's football. We shouldn't be trying to sell, you know, you can pick either men's football or women's football, or, you know, it's even though these go side by side, but still it should be understood that it's a different type of thing, and maybe the people you try to market it to, it's different. FIFA made actually a study and how people view women's football. This was last year, and it had been seen as youthful, entertaining, dynamic, professional, and fun to watch. So these are very. Obviously, these are nice words to see. It seems like it could be lucrative for people or for businesses to be involved with this kind of. Well, if you want to be associated with these kind of words, then women's football could be the place to be in. Also, UEFA launched this type of "Together We Play Strong." It's a project where they want to bring more young girls into football and promoting women's football and trying to build its own brand, so to speak. And that has been especially like I do follow a lot of football channels and different, for instance, in Twitter. It's nice to see that people are involved with this, and these are the type of marketing or promotion things that should be done with women on the women's side. By the way, if you have any questions anytime, please feel free to ask. I'm more than happy to answer all the questions, no matter when. Then I would like to go into women's football in Finland. We have about 33,000 registered female players. So, and we have about 120,000 total registered players. So this is growing gradually, about maybe 5% a year. But it's been growing 20% since 2013. So this is, as you can see, there is bigger growth potential in women's side than there is on the men's side, because a lot of boys tend to play. It's automatic that boys play football already. Even though a lot of girls already play as well, but then still there still is growth potential. However, the thing that I was looking going through the numbers, and the thing that caught my eye there was that we only actually have 5,000, about 5,000 registered adult female players. So what are the reasons for those? Some might, you know, some might discuss, or some might think that, okay, you get a family, you don't have time to do sports that much, or when, you know, then you concentrate on the on other matters, or I don't know, the girls drop out, when the dropout age is probably at some point in high school, and then if you quit playing sports, then obviously we don't have these adult female players. So this is actually something that we should think about in RFA as well, because there I think as well we have a lot of potential, because we do have a lot of more girls and women who have played football, but we don't reach at the moment. Right now, currently, our national team is ranked 28th in the FIFA ranking globally, and I think it's 15 in the UEFA ranking. So in the European ranking, it's number 15, and in the global ranking, we're 28, number 28. Obviously, this is not the best we have been. The best we have been is 2005, when we were ranked 14, which is very high. Oh, it's the all-time best for Finland. But that was due to the 2005 European Championships, where actually Finland lost to Germany in the semis. So that's there was no bronze medal game played at that time, but then that tournament in England was very, very good from the Finnish side. And yeah, obviously there was the result for that. Right now we have a Swedish head coach, Anna Simno. She actually did a great job. She was earlier in the day, she was youth national team coach for Sweden, did a great job there, took them to the Euros for the first time and all these things, and developed the game in Sweden a lot. Then she spent maybe last 7 years or so, 7 to 10 years in Scotland. She was developing the Scottish football on the women's side a lot. And actually, for the first time ever, they qualified for the Euros last summer. So she has been doing great job there. And even though we weren't, Finland didn't qualify for the last Euros, the 3 Euros before that we were there. So we're hoping that Anna, with the help of Anna, we will be again reaching this final tournament. So most of our national team players right now play abroad. We have people in, well, Sweden, Norway, Italy, Czech, Germany. No, actually no. Tinja Riikka, who played for Bayern Munich, she actually now moved to Norway, the national team captain. But yes, so this is still a sign that we are, most people play professionally abroad, so that's a very good thing. And one thing to mention is that our U17s actually qualified for the European Championships on the women's side. They were playing in the same group with France, Sweden, and Scotland. So all three very, very good women's football nations. So this is a very nice... this is a sign that they have been doing a good job with developing the younger players, and that we're going to the right direction. Quickly about the women's league in Finland, Naistenliiga. We have 10 clubs. We have a budget about between 75,000 to 130,000. Compared to the men's side, I think HJK has maybe 1.5 million euros, and the lowest of the Veikkausliiga clubs, they have probably 300,000, 400,000. So obviously there's still a lot of a big gap in that, and of course, the media, the interest of media is a little bit different from the men's side as well, and several other reasons as well. So, however, there have been, it's been nice to notice that there's growing interest in media. For instance, Veikkaus TV is showing 5 games at least from both PK35 and HJK, they're showing 5 games each. And then Elisa TV is showing 1 game each round that is being played. So that's nice to see that in that way we are getting more and more time in the media. Obviously, we have been getting some media time lately as well in some other issues, but maybe we can have a discussion of that later. But it's nice that we're gradually getting into or getting the visibility because I think it's fun to watch. And people are really all wholeheartedly in the game, so it's very, very nice to watch. One more thing about marketing and promotion, we have this Kaikki Peliin All In. It's like the theme for the Naisten Liiga now, that where they try to promote and make the sport or Naisten Liiga known to people. This is, if you know the Lassi Hurskan, the guy who is doing all the tricks, the goalie who was doing all the tricks in the YouTube videos. He's going around all the teams in Finland, in the top league teams, and interviewing or spending one day with each with one member of the team. So actually, it's been those are short, maybe 5-6 minute clips or videos, but it's fun to watch. So if you have a chance, I don't want to show it here, but if you have a chance to go and check it out, two videos have been launched, and these are also ways of marketing the sport, and fun ways to do it, I think. Well, a few observations that I wrote down. Obviously, like I already said, it's a very, very fast, or it's a growing sport. In fact, it's the biggest sport for girls and women in Finland, in a lot of other countries as well. So, of course, there is a big opportunity there. Also, I think in the recent years, or a decade or so maybe, the importance of or the value of promoting female role models has actually become more and more important. So it's actually very nice now that, because when I was growing up, back in the 90s or 80s, of course I didn't have any female role models. So when I was watching, you know, I was watching Maradona, or I was watching Ryan Giggs from Manchester United play, or, you know, these were my, or Pelé, or these type of players. So now it's nice that you do have Messi and you have Cristiano Ronaldo and all this, but then again, you do have Marta and you do have Veronica Bocquet and different types of players that, or Nadine Kessler, for instance, a German player. Well, she has retired now, but you know, it's important to have these type of role models as growing up. What I would like to say about our FA, I've gone through some materials from the all the different UEFA members associations, and we are actually one of the. Well, there's 55 member nations, and we are one of the 14 or 15 member associations that do not have a women's football committee in Finland. We only actually have six. We have about 70 people working in RFA, and only 6 people working directly with the women's football. And actually, out of these 6, I think 4 are coaches. So that only leaves you 2 people working with the, well, we actually don't, and even from these people, we don't really have anybody who's full-time working on women's football. And I think that should be a thing that could help to promote or help with the development on the women's game. It's of course, it's very important to have somebody who is really, really hands-on and really involved with this. And yeah, that could really help with the promotion of Naisten Liiga and doing some marketing activities or whatever. It can help to bring more people into the games. And yeah. Also, we do not have any specific commercial sponsors. Oh, by the way, from I was looking also at the numbers from France. I think they have, was it 30 people? No, 40 people working with women's football only. Of course, their association, the French association is a lot bigger, but still, yet this gives you an idea that if you have 30 or 40 people working with this topic, then it's obviously it will grow bigger. And for instance, in here, we only have, I think last year it was maybe only 200 people average spectators, which is not that much. But in France, I think it was 1,500 or so. So it's there's still some work to do, I think. Yes. So also, we do not have any specific commercial sponsors that are only connected with the women's, either with the women's league or with the women's national team. These could be actually things that could help out the sport a lot. It would if we could direct the funds directly to these teams or to these people, and yeah, it would be a very beneficial for all the game, women's game. There have been different types of development projects launched all over the UEFA nations or the European football associations regarding women's football. So from grassroots even up to the elite level. So this is very important continually to continue doing that kind of things to bring in more girls and women to the game. But also very important for this whole thing is the development of the game. Of course, if you have a product that's more and more interesting, then it's easier to sell it. So it is important too that the women's football does develop continuously. And that's, and it's the responsibility for the players and the coaches and such. Few other observations that I made. There are big European clubs right now that are investing a lot in the women's football. For instance, Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City, for instance, has a women's team now. Juventus also has a team for women. We have two girls from the Finnish national team who play there, Tuija Hyrynen and Sanni Francia, and they have been doing a very great job there. And it's very nice to see when a big club sees the value in the women's sport. And then they do have the funding from the men's side, probably, that helps out the women's game as well and develop it. But then again, it's been nice to see this this type of change in the culture, in the sports culture globally, that there is big interest in the women's game. Also, for instance, my experience with Wolfsburg in Bundesliga, I was there when our men's side, actually, it was a surprise to everybody pretty much, but they won the Bundesliga in 2009. And it was great. We got to enjoy the we got to be part of the celebrations. And of course, when they get in more money, maybe then the whole club gets more money, and then there is more money to spend on the women's side as well. So obviously, that was very beneficial for us all. And there I could really see it's very nice being involved or being part of such a professional organization. And well, obviously there you have a big sponsor in the background, Volkswagen, which is that the whole town is pretty much based on or built around the Volkswagen factory. And that's how the club originally started as well, being as a football club for the workers and such. Anyways, so these are very nice things to see, that big clubs are more and more interested in women's football. Also, a very nice thing was, I think this was two years ago, when the EA Sports launched a FIFA version of FIFA with female players in it. So it was. So now, I don't play FIFA myself. I don't play PlayStation, but I don't do that. But my husband plays it sometimes, and then it's funny because then I could pick some of my old teammates to be playing, and yeah. But it's very nice. It's a great step forward, and also shows the respect that the women's football has gained in the last few years. Few comments about the women in governing bodies. So like I said, I was in, my first international event was as the vice president for Finnish Football Association was the UEFA Congress, two months ago in, February. We were in Bratislava and, so there are 55 member nations in the UEFA family, and every nation sends 3 delegates to this meeting, to this Congress. So we're 170 people there, plus some other representatives of FIFA or some other, let's say the African Football Associations or their. Some representatives from those. So we're probably 220 people or so, and we were maybe 15 to 20 women there. So or 15 maybe out of the 170. So obviously that's not a lot. Plus then another observation that I made that the average age there was probably 60 or 60, well, maybe not 60 plus, 55 to 65 probably. So obviously me, I really stood out in that group. But it's the message that we've been getting, that we really do need women in these positions as well. I was trying to think about the hinders that people or women might have, why they don't even seek these positions. I know there's this thing called the imposter syndrome, that a lot of females tend to think less, or they tend to value their achievements less than men. This is... you know, if you do the same thing and a girl or a woman might be, oh, well, you know, I don't know, it went maybe like this. And a guy would be, yeah, I'm the best. I knew this stuff. You know, I'm great. I can do this. So a lot of, and then girls actually might even think that, oh, even though you're really capable of doing something, you might think that, hey, maybe at some point people realize that I really can't do this, even though there's no valid reason for this. It's just a psychological thing that's happening. So they think that they are such imposters that they, sooner or later, people will find out that they really are not able to do these things, which really do not have any basis in the facts, for instance, or the results that for instance, in business life, even though you might have the same kind of even though you might have the same kind of results, still you would think that, oh, I really, maybe I still cannot do this. Anyways, then there is a thing. I've been reading this book by this Facebook's CFO, Sheryl Sandberg. Very interesting book, Lean In, it's called. And she was also talking about this success versus likability. A lot of women actually, let's say if a man is a powerful and in a bigger position, he tends to be liked. However, for females, a lot of times if you get power and if you get into a position where you're very successful, you are not seen as likable as maybe your male counterpart. So I don't know if these are reasons why people, or you know, how should I say it? Or if these are reasons also in combination with, yes, building a family, that might take some time and some of your devotion and energy. But how women really should try to make an effort to grab these opportunities and seek for these as well. But it's a lot about self-confidence. I really, 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 like I said earlier, that even though you might have the male and female counterparts doing the same exact thing with the same exact results, the female version might be that, oh, well, you know, it went like this and that. Well, maybe it didn't go so well. But then again, a guy would be like, yes, I did great. You know, I am the best. I can do this. So there is a big thing that we need to, as females need to concentrate on. And actually, I think also a big role for us is that the people who really are already in these positions, that they really use their network of capable women to bring those girls and women into these kind of, at least help them with mentoring or different things, and to support each other and try to make them see that impossible is nothing and that you really can do things that if you really want. No, I think actually what I somehow seem, well, at least what happened to me in my position, I actually got asked to stand up for, or you know, what do you call it, run for the position of vice president from a lot of different directions, actually. A lot of high positions in the football associations as well. When somebody first asked me that, have you ever thought about doing this? I was like, well, no. Actually, I haven't. But I think maybe it's so built in the history that because since you never see any women in those positions, you don't even think that it could be possible. But for me, for instance, after a while, when I thought about it, I was like, well, why shouldn't I apply run for the position, be a candidate for the vice president? And in a way, I was like, well, I really should have thought of this myself before as well, but it just somehow never occurred to me. But I don't know. But like, yes, you are very. Yeah, I agree. I saw one older gentleman having breakfast in the hotel restaurant, and he was also a delegate of one traditional football country, and he was trying to eat his breakfast like this. You know, a hand all shaking, and you know, he was he was probably 70 something years old. And I was thinking, well, this is great if all the people who are really deciding what's happening with our sport, where mainly the people who play the sport are kids or youth or young adults, so then you know, there should be some correlation with that, but. So there I saw that, oh, this really maybe is my place to be, to try to change these type of things. Yes. I don't know if I answered your question at all, but yeah, I think my time's up anyway. So did you have any questions? Anything that came to your mind? I don't know if there has been too big challenges yet. Well, it's only been a few months. I know with the strategy change, where there will, since huge changes are coming, I know there will be some bigger, not problems, but some, since people tend to resist change, so there will probably be some resistance. So that probably will be a big challenge for all of us. But then again, we have to work as one whole football family to guide the ship towards the goal that we really want to. But so far, actually, it's been trying to learn the new role. And I know a lot of the people already, but it's nice to see the different side of the world as well. But yeah, you really see how things work a little differently on that side. That's for sure. Yeah, not an easy one either. I really do hope that if you're interested in playing football or any other sport, that you will really get to do what you really want to do. But obviously, in that culture, it's not possible yet. But I'm hoping that at some point there will be a situation where they're free to play whatever sport they want to, and not separately. I think they are allowed to do some kind of sports, but only in their own group of, where no men are involved, or where no men can see them do sports. So it's a very, in a way, sad situation and difficult for me to understand as well, since I have grown up in an environment that really allows you to be who you are and really allows you to do whatever you want to. So it's difficult. But yes, they do have a lot of money, obviously. So there could be a lot of potential in that one. But I think that will take, I don't know if I will be living still then when that happens. So when the big money would be invested in the women's sports there, in that side of the Gulf. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just in addition to this question, there are plenty of marketing campaigns launched by big corporations such as Nike or Adidas about women's equality, mm-hmm. Even in football. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that they are working? And have you noticed some difference in their attitude when you were an athlete starting the career and now being a vice president?
Well, yes. From the 90s, there has been a huge change in the environment and in the culture. Obviously, it depends on also what country you talk about. For instance, in the US, when I was playing there already then, women's soccer was the bigger sport for them. Obviously, on the men's side, you have the different sports. But on the women's side, soccer was really big. And there, you would already have these role models. And but yes, also in Germany, if I told somebody that I play football for Wolfsburg, they were like, wow, that's awesome, that's really great. And then again, back when I was younger, if I was saying that, oh, I'm playing football in Finland, for instance, they're like, okay, you play football. Like, what else do you do, really? So it's not even I think it's becoming, since the game, women's game has become more and more professional, so it has been taken more and more seriously. However, there's still a lot of things to do and work on. But I think it has been progressing a lot. And also in the environment that we played, it's much more professional now than it used to be back when I started. Yeah.
Thank you for the answer. Mm-hmm. Do we have any more questions?
Well, like I said in my presentation, I think it's very, very important. It doesn't really matter how, in what way women would be empowered if they're involved with the sport itself as players or coaches or even involved with the club somehow. That's very very important, but I think it is very, very, especially in the developing nations, football can be seen as means of getting those girls and women more and more into, getting a bigger role in the society. Yeah.